No, I don't know about you, but I listen to that video and I hear that song, and I've seen it all week, and it's like, I've been humming that song all week. It's just, even if you're not happy, you get happy, you know? Well, happy Easter, and welcome everybody, and hey, I just want to just take a moment and just welcome just different groups of people who are our people who call the Ridge home, and as I do that, would you just give them a round of applause? Well, not yet. I mean, you practice. That's good. I appreciate you practicing. Okay, for the first group of people that I want to say happy Easter to and welcome is our Oak Creek Franklin campus. This is their second Easter they're celebrating with us, and so can we give them a round of applause, big round of applause to them. I love you guys. And also just want to say welcome and happy Easter to all of you who are joining us online. Would you just give them a round of applause as well? And then would you give yourselves a round of applause, all you who are joining us in Greenfield? You deserve it, that's right. Now, if you're a guest with us, no matter where you are in your faith journey, you just need to know that you have been prayed for many weeks, and we don't believe you're here by accident. And so we are just honestly, we are just extra specially glad that you have chosen to spend your Easter here with us. Now, I want to begin with a question, and that song kind of referred to it a bit, but I'm going to take the words, and I'm going to kind of just change the words a little bit. Let me ask you this. What do you consider the greatest day of your life? Now, if you're married, you better say your wedding day, or today might end up being the worst day of your life. You know, maybe you're thinking about the day that you became a mom or a dad, or maybe for you, it's an accomplishment that you just worked long and hard for. Okay, what is that for you? And I want you to kind of take that and just picture that for a minute. Now, my guess would be that one of the things that made it so great was that something or someone happened to you, and you are still feeling the impact of that today. For example, you will always have a family. You will always have that degree. You can always say you did that. You know, you will always be called mom. You will always be called dad. You know, you will always have those memories. And maybe here's something that you never thought about when it came to your greatest day. Your greatest day has led to some of your greatest challenges. I mean, if you're a parent, do I need to say anything else? If you're married, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I know culture tells us that our marriage should be, you know, all John Mayer songs and passion and romance and all that stuff. But can we just be honest? Marriage is sometimes just downright hard. And that accomplishment, that opportunity, that job of yours, I mean, it comes with all this expectations and pressure. And then there's this dynamic. That something or someone that happened to you, you reached a point where you thought this, is there more? I mean, you found Mr. or Mrs. Right, and you know, you're like, is there more? You know, you had kids, or maybe you finally had kids, and you started to go, I love my kids, but man, is there more? In fact, that question caused some of you to have more kids, if you're really honest with yourself. And then, you know, that opportunity, that job, that raise, you got to a point where you started to go, hey, what's next? You know, we get it, and we're glad that we get it, but it's never enough. Now, most of us have probably heard the Easter message, that Jesus died and then he rose from the dead. And for some of you, you might be thinking, you know, I'm not sure if I really believe that, or, you know, when I think about the whole message, I'm like, well, why did Jesus have to die anyways? I mean, couldn't just he's kind of forgive and a blank slate and all that stuff? And for some of you, you go, well, I get it, for Christians, this might be a great day for them, but for me, it's just another day that doesn't impact my today. And so here's what I want to do. I want to walk through the resurrection narrative. And I want to try to tie that event in history to your story. And here's what I'm hoping is going to happen. That some of you will discover that your greatest day will never be that something or someone happened to you, but it'll actually be much more than that. Now, we're going to look at the resurrection narrative that is written in the book of Luke. Now, if you're new to the Bible, Luke is actually written by Luke. Very creative names in the Bible, just in case you're wondering. Now, here's the interesting thing about Luke. Luke was a doctor. And then he decided to do a bunch of research and interview a bunch of the people who were involved in this whole thing. And he started out not a follower of Jesus. And then after he was done interviewing everybody, he became a follower of Jesus. And then he wrote all of his research out. It's what we know as the book of Luke. And so here's what Luke says about in his resurrection narrative. He says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices. Now here's what some of you may not know. These were actually the original Spice Girls right here. You probably not know that and all that stuff. It's my only dad joke of the day. Okay, so there it is right there. The women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Luke then says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, and I read that, I'm like, well, no kidding, man. If I had two, you know, angels standing in front of me, I'd be scared too. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Now, this is such a practical question for us. Why do you look for life in things that can't bring us life? Now, if we contextualize this, it may be said like this. Why do you look for life in what we call the three S's? Sex, stuff, and status. Sex, well, if I just found the right person, then my life would be right. Stuff. We say that money can't buy us happiness, but man, we spend on stuff and experiences as if that weren't true. And status, well, if I just got this job with this accolades and this title, then I would be somebody. Now, please hear me on this. These things aren't bad in among themselves. In fact, they may add to their life, our life, but they were never created or meant to give us life. It's why we pursue them and then we get them, and then we wonder, is there more? Why do we look for life in things that ultimately can't give us life? And then the men say this. They said, he is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. And I want you to kind of save that line there. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hand of sinners, be crucified on the third day, and be raised from the dead. Now, I love that. Remember how he told you. This is so real to me when you think about it. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you're just kind of going back and forth and you're going back and forth and the one person is adamant, like, I told you so. And you're on the receiving end. You're like, I don't remember you saying anything about that. Some of you are like, yeah, that's called marriage. And that's true. I mean, you know, I've been married to my wife, Donna, for 28 years, and we've had thousands of those conversations. And most of the time, she's on the I told you side, and I'm on the I don't remember. I don't think you did that. And we'll just kind of go back and forth, and we'll go back and forth. And then here's the line I've come up with to kind of end the conversation. Well, I guess we just need to agree to disagree. Guys, are you with me? I mean, does that kind of work for you as well? Otherwise, there's a tip for you right there. Now, here's the thing. Jesus had told the disciples three times that he was gonna die and then he was gonna eventually rise from the dead. And so the angels are going, seriously? How did you miss this? We are shocked that you're shocked. I mean, we expected the whole group of you to be around the tomb on that third day going 10, 9, 8, 7, hey, get ready, Jesus is gonna bust out of this thing. Now here's how this relates to us. It is so easy for us to hear something, see something, experience something, but yet miss the main point of that something. I mean, for some of you, maybe you grew up in church, maybe you're still going to church, and you check all the religious boxes, and you kind of look at church, and you go, well, you know, I do this, and I don't do this, and I follow all the rules. I do everything that I'm supposed to do, and maybe you even learned about Jesus, but you are missing the main thing, which is you actually knowing Jesus and experiencing his presence and power in your life. Or for others of you, you've maybe been to an Easter service before and you've heard the message that Jesus died and then rose from the dead. And that message and just that thought, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But what if that's true? You see, if that's true, that means it is the most important thing that could ever happen to you, which is the main thing. And so the angels are looking at them and going, you missed it. You missed it. And then I love the ladies' responses. Well, then they remembered his words. It was like, oh yeah, that's right. You did say that. Well, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. And so the 11 are the 11 disciples. They were the ones that were with Jesus. They were the ones who saw Jesus do all the miracles and hear him teach all the teachings. They were there when three times he predicted his death and resurrection. And here's their reaction. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Now, what I love about this is if you're just kind of kicking the tires with Christianity right now, and you're thinking, you know what, I've got questions and I'm not really sure about this whole thing. Hey, listen, here's the great thing. You are in a great spot because the resurrection narrative is full of people who at first didn't believe. And if you're kind of there wrestling with the questions and the doubts and all that stuff, it's so easy to be in a church setting and, you know, someone invited you here and all that stuff. And you're kind of in that setting and you're going, am I really the only one who has those struggles? Am I it? And here's the great thing. You're not it. There are many other people like you who are wrestling with the very same thing. And it's why, and here's the thing, we love that and we encourage that. It's why we created this environment that was mentioned earlier called Alpha. And listen, if that's you, I can't encourage you enough to step into one of the Alpha environments. You just go online and we have multiple different options. I want to encourage you to do that because you'll be with other people just like you. And so here's the disciples. The disciples, they don't believe what the women are saying. And so two of them are like, I'm done with this, you know? And so they're going to decide to blow off steam. And so they're going for a walk. And as they're walking, they're kind of talking about with each other all this stuff that happens. And then like Jesus comes up behind them, but they don't recognize him. And Jesus is like, hey, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, dude, are you not on social media? I mean, everybody is talking about this guy, Jesus. And we thought that we had hoped that he would save us from the Romans. Instead, they crucify him. And to make matters worse, some women are going around claiming he is alive. I mean, think about this, a dead corpse coming back to life. We don't buy that nonsense. And then listen to what Jesus says to them. How foolish are you? And how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. You know, we can't hear Jesus' tone because we're reading his words. But I like to think that Jesus was saying to them in the tone that people in Kentucky say, bless your heart, bless your heart. Now, Don and I, we lived in Kentucky for 5 years, and people would always say to us, we'd be talking about stuff, asking questions, they'd go, bless your heart, bless your heart. And I'd be like, man, people are so nice and kind here. I mean, it's unbelievable how nice they are. Well, there was this one day, I was out at the store with someone who's from the area. And I was talking to someone at the store and I was asking them a question. They go, oh, bless your heart, bless your heart. And I turn to my friend and I go, gosh darn it, people are just so kind and nice here. And he kind of pulls me aside and he goes, they're not kind and nice. That's their way of kindly saying, you're clueless, you're an idiot. Now, I don't know if that's what Jesus's tone was, but I think there was a part of them that was going, and you didn't believe. Now, for some of you who wouldn't consider yourself a religious person and you have all these questions and doubts, especially the resurrection and all that stuff, for some of you would say, well, I could never be a faith person because I'm a logical thinker. You know, I believe in science. But here's what faith is. Faith just means this. It means to trust in. Now, with that definition, do you know what that means? We all have faith. Because we are all trusting in something or someone with our lives and the answer to the big questions of our life. And let me give you an example. There are universal questions that every single one of us wrestles with. You know, for example, we all wrestle with this question, who am I? And here's the thing, you have an answer to that question and that answer isn't random. You have trusted someone or something with the answer to that question. Here's another question I bet that you have. Your question is, why am I here? Once again, you have an answer to that question. You have trusted something or someone with the answer to that question. You see, we get confused at times. You see, we think, when it comes to the whole faith thing, we think we need certainty. That's why some of us are like, well, you know what? I can't be a faith person. I believe in science. Here's the thing. Me too. But science can't prove or disprove the existence of God. So if we're believing in science, you have to have a measure of faith as well. You see, faith isn't about being certain or having all your questions answered, because here's the thing, you'll never get to that point. I have questions that I still don't have answered. Faith is getting to this place where you feel confident because you have enough of your questions answered that you can take a step and trust Jesus with your life. Now it's Easter, which is all about the resurrection. And some of you are going, okay, that's fine, but I don't know if I could really believe that. Before I was a Christian, this was a real hang up for me as well. I'm like, you know, am I crazy to think that someone actually rose from the dead? And so here's what I want to do for you. I want to just take 3.5 minutes, give or take, 3.5 minutes, and I want to give you 3 quick reasons why you have good reason to believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And here's how you're going to remember them. They all begin with E, okay? I'm a pastor. We do everything alliterations, all right? So the 3 E's and why you can believe in the resurrection. Here's the first one, the empty tomb. You see, the Romans and the Jewish religious leaders, they wanted to put a stop to this Jesus movement. And since Jesus's tomb was guarded by the Roman military, they were the only ones that had access to the body. And so when the disciples are going around going, he's risen from the dead, he's risen from the dead, the Romans could have stepped in and put a stop to it and said, Exhibit A, dead body. But they didn't do that because they didn't have that. You know, I've heard some say, well, you know, the disciples, they probably stole the body, hid it, and then they made this whole thing up. The problem with that is that every one of the disciples died for their belief that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, you might say, well, people die for their belief all the time. Yeah, but they don't die for something that they know is not true. Here's the second E, early accounts. That there are multiple accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. We have some from eyewitnesses, John and Matthew, and from Paul, who actually at one time persecuted Christians and then became one because Jesus appeared to him after he rose from the dead. And these accounts are written shortly after the resurrection, and we have thousands of these manuscripts, which means this isn't some wise tale that's come down from generation to generation. These manuscripts provide historical reliability and foundation for the resurrection. Here's the last one, eyewitnesses. Now, we have the disciples, but beside them, we have our guy, Paul, again. And Paul, he's writing to a letter, he's writing to a small church in Corinth who are wrestling with the same thing. And listen to what Paul writes. This is fascinating. He says this, "For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Now, we haven't gotten to that part of the story yet. Okay, so spoiler alert. And then listen to this. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some of them have fallen asleep. 500 eyewitnesses. I'm currently going through an insurance dispute right now that is probably going to be headed to court. And I can't imagine like going to court and they go, how many witnesses do you have? Well, I've got 500 eyewitnesses and just kind of just marching in. What would that do to my case? It would be slam dunk. Now, some people say, well, they must have all been hallucinating. Well, here's the thing. 500 people hallucinating about the same thing, that must have been some party. And whatever that they were smoking, they need to keep selling that stuff because that stuff would sell really, really good today. You see, this is Paul going, hey, listen, if you don't believe me, you know, you need to go and visit some of these people right here that are still alive. They aren't AI generated. They are still around. Can we trust in the resurrection? There is enough evidence for us to believe that Jesus really did rise from the dead. That's why I never say the story of the resurrection. This is an actual event in history, that there is a real Jesus who died on a real cross for the real you, and we can know him and experience him personally with our lives. And I just think about this for a minute. If God is God, should we be surprised that he does the supernatural? No. Now, you might be going, okay, Mark, that's great. Why does it matter? Well, listen to what Jesus says. He says, well, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? You know, the message of Christianity is that Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven from our sins, and then we could be in a relationship with God. And maybe you've heard that before and you've wondered, well, why did Jesus have to die on a cross for our forgiveness? I mean, when I forgive people, I don't have to go to a cross. You know, I just say, hey, I forgive you, you know, and it's all good and all that stuff. And here's the thing, if you've ever wondered that before, the disciples were wondering the very same thing because they were not expecting a crucified and resurrected Messiah. So why did he? Well, let me tell you why. Like you, God values justice. Now, the tough thing for us to get our minds around is that our sense of justice is very flawed. In other words, it is very self-centered. And I can prove it to you. If you and I were to sit down for a cup of coffee, you could tell me a story or 40 of a time that someone did something to you that made you mad that you have done to other people, and you weren't that mad at yourself for doing that very same thing. You know, I personally can't stand bad drivers. I don't know what it is, okay, but it's like for me, I'm on the highway and people are cutting me off and I question the existence of God every single time. I'm like, God, I thought you didn't make mistakes. There's one, all right? And that's what happens to me. And so here's the thing, someone kind of cuts me off and I just rain down fire from heaven. God, you will send fire on that car. And I get mad and I'm upset and all that stuff. But then I accidentally cut someone off. And they wave at me with the one finger wave and all that stuff. And I'm like, cool it, dude, it was an accident. Don't lose control of yourself. I mean, think about this. Someone lies to you, you get angry, but you lie to someone else and say, yeah, but I got good reason to. Someone mistreats you, you get angry, you mistreat someone else, and you justify why you had to do it. Have you ever noticed that we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, but we don't apply that same benefit of the doubt to other people? You see, our sense of justice is flawed in that we underestimate our own sin, and then we overestimate everybody else's. However, God is perfect, and so his sense of justice is perfect as well. So here's the bad news. Our sin, which we justify and we kind of write off as no big deal, we underestimate, our sin separates us from a perfect and just God. We say, hey, God, just look over it, no big deal. God says, that wouldn't be very just. It is a big deal. But here's the good news of it all. God, who is just, requires a payment for our sin, but he's also love, and he decided to be the payment for our sin. In other words, through Jesus, God says this, I'm going to be just, and I'm going to be the justifier. God said, I'm going to be the judge, and I'm going to hand down the sentence, which is the death penalty. But then the judge takes off the judge's robe, gets up from the judge's seat, goes to a cross, and pays off our sentence with his life. Now, eventually, as the spoiler alert I told earlier, Jesus reveals all of this. He appears to disciples, reveals all this, and then listen to what he says to them in closing. Because what he says to them and us reveals what our greatest day should be. He says, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In other words, your greatest day will never be that something or someone happened to you. Your greatest day will be when you discover that the ultimate someone happened for you. And that someone is that God sent his son to die on a cross for you. And do you know what makes that so great? Well, Jesus referred to it in what we just looked at. He said, you can have forgiveness of your sins. I heard one person describe forgiveness of our sins this way. Forgiveness is the recording of your life wiped clean in God's eyes. All the bad, all the regret, all the stupid, all the sinful, gone. We can't find life without it, because we can never truly be free without it. I can still remember the moment when I became a dad. And I just didn't become a dad with one. We got blessed with two at one. In fact, here is a picture of the twins, Joshua and Caleb, when we got them. And I remember just thinking, I'm a dad, man. I mean, I get to raise these two dudes. What could possibly go wrong? Little did I know all the things these little babies during their infant years would do to me. during those baby years. I can't tell you how many times after feeding them, I would pick them up, and you know, you burp the baby and all that stuff, and I would just pick them up. I wouldn't put a blanket on or anything like that, because nothing's gonna happen. And I would just pat. Not only would they burp, man, they would puke green stuff all over my shirt. I'm like, why are you doing that to me? You do that to your mom, you know? But they would just puke. They would puke all over me. There was this time, I used to love to hold the twins in the air like this, and I had to go, ah, and then they open up their mouth. There's one time I was holding Caleb in the air, I'm going, ah, and his mouth is open, and he starts to drop spit out of his mouth, and that spit landed in my mouth. Josh, he was great. He had the loudest scream of any kid that I'd ever heard. And when he would do something he wasn't supposed to do, and then I would pick him up, he would look at me and go, "Aah!" And it was so loud, it was like, you know, your hair would kind of like brush back, you know. I'm like, I don't need gel today, you know, got you as far as that's concerned. There was another time where Donna, she was on a mission trip, and she leaves, and both of the twins get diarrhea all at the same time. And so it's just like runny as all get out. And so I'm changing one of them, getting ready to go to work. You know, I got my work stuff on, and I turn and I put my hand in the runny poop. I'm like, oh no. I'm like, oh gosh, you know, and just kind of wipe it all over me. Now here's the thing. If you puked on me, if you spit on me, if you screamed at me, if you pooped on me, I don't think I would probably want much to do with you. But my kids do it. And because I'm their father, it's the craziest thing. I love them all the more. Your greatest day will be when you stop seeking happiness and meaning and purpose in things that are done to you. It's this never-ending cycle. It'll always leave you wanting more. Your greatest day will be when you come to the reality that you have puked and you have spit and you have screamed and you have pooped on God. The Bible just calls it sin. But because He's our Heavenly Father, He loves you more than any earthly parent could love his kid. And He showed that love by doing the ultimate thing. He gave Himself for you, but He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And because He rose from the dead, it means what Jesus said is true. You can have forgiveness of your sins. It also means that your Heavenly Father has a wonderful plan and a purpose for your life. And it also means because Jesus rose from the dead, anything is possible. You know, I don't know where you are, but for some of you, you follow Jesus, or you say you do. But then you kind of default to, well, I really believe in Jesus, but you don't really follow. You kind of believe, but you just do life your own way. Maybe today for Easter, today you just kind of draw a line in the sand and you rededicate yourself and you go, no. I'm not going to believe. I'm going to follow, and I'm going to live my life around following Jesus. For others of you, you're not there yet with Jesus, and you're taking steps, and you've been invited, and you're wrestling, and you've got questions. Maybe your next step is to go to one of the Alpha courses. Or next week, we're starting a brand new series called Relationships on Purpose. Maybe for you, would you just give church 4 weeks and see what happens? But for others of you, God's been tugging at your heart and drawing you, and you know this for a long time now. And you're going, I'm done running. I'm in. And you're ready to make a decision to give your life to Christ. Here's how we do that here. And we're going to do something as a church. I'm going to have everybody bow their head and close their eyes. And then we're going to say a prayer, and you're going to repeat after me. Everybody is going to repeat after me. And so for you, you're going to repeat it with the rest of the community, if that's you. And this is going to be your prayer, and we're going to say this together. So repeat after me. God, I'm a sinner. God, I'm a sinner. And I believe You sent Jesus. And I believe He died on a cross and rose from the dead. And today, I place my faith in Him as Lord and my leader. Fill me with Your Spirit. Thank You, God, for making this the greatest day for me. Let me pray for everyone. Father, whoever made that and how many made that decision, it's also the greatest day for you.
because it says that there's a party in heaven every time someone goes, I'm done running, I'm in. And Father, I thank you for all those who made that decision, who took that step. And God, I also thank you for those who are just willing to continue to wrestle and ask questions and all that stuff. Love that, and you love that. And I also pray over our church that we would be a place that really that lives the resurrected life, that we live in freedom, that we live in our identity, and we step into our purpose in you, that because you rose from the dead, anything is truly possible. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.